Doom do 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 do.
Hey, plant friends, welcome to episode 70 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Plant friends, hi. I hope that you're having wonderfully planty weeks as per usual and that you enjoyed part one of this two-part episode on cannabis. Part one was unbelievable, but I can assure you that part two is even better. I'm so excited to share the second half of this conversation with Chudy and Rooney with you. Before we dive into cannabis part two, plant friends, I wanted to share a planty thing that happened to me last week while I was on the road that I just think will warm your hearts, and I hope that it encourages you to spread your planty passion as well. So I was in Charlotte, North Carolina with Cats on Tour. We were performing in Charlotte, and I was backstage getting ready to do the show, and I was wearing one of my Bloom and Grow Plant Friends apparel shirts. So I have a line, for those of you who don't know, I have a line of clothing called the Bloom and Grow Plant Friends apparel, and it says Plant Lady on it in really big writing. And so one of the dressers who's responsible for getting us dressed into the spandex, into the cat outfits, one of the local dressers in Charlotte stopped me and she said, "Oh my God, you're a plant lady?" Because she saw my shirt. She said, "I'm a plant lady. Like, I have this night blooming Ceris that I'm so excited about. It hasn't bloomed yet." She just started telling me all about her plant that she loved and her plant collection. And we were just standing backstage, two people who were in a completely different profession, and had this really rewarding, sweet conversation about plants. And at the end of it, she said, "You know, if you're really interested in a night blooming Ceris, like, why don't I make you a cutting? Like, they're super easy to root." And as you guys know from previous episodes, I tend to buy cheap, small plants at a Trader Joe's or whatever grocery store I'm at, and I keep them in my hotel rooms with me to bring me joy and continue my urban jungle vibes across this country. So I said, "You know, I have a Trader Joe's plant. Why don't we do a plant swap? So on Sunday at the end of the week, I'll bring you one of my plants and she'll bring me the cutting." And she ended up bringing me, it wasn't a cutting, she really separated her plant. Like, she gave me a 4-inch pot filled with this gorgeous night blooming Ceris. We did this trade and it was just so sweet. We exchanged information. She gave me the care guides. P.S. Fun fact, a night blooming Ceris is actually not a Ceris. It's not from that family. It's an epiphytic cactus. But I got to learn all about a plant that I didn't know. I probably would have never brought this plant indoors, but now I have this epic cutting of it and just this sweet experience. You might have heard the story on my Instagram because I posted a photo of her. But plant friends, I know that these epic plant swaps can be really fun, but I feel like people can sometimes get intimidated to organize a major plant swap. You can literally just meet someone on the street or connect with someone in our community, maybe on the Bloom and Grow private Facebook group. I know listeners have arranged plant swaps with each other just from commenting, like, on my posts in the comments and connecting. A plant swap doesn't need to be an epic thing. It can just be two people who love plants offering to share parts of their collections with each other. My heart is so warm from that experience. And now I'll remember her, Kyla, forever, because I'm going to have her plant with me. So how cool is that? So that's my heartwarming story for the week for you guys. We have two new Patreon plant friends. So thank you, Jennifer Rosener and Molly Lyer, for becoming part of the Bloom and Grow Radio Patreon community. Patreon is a way for listeners to monetarily support the podcast and help me bring as many podcast and YouTube episodes to as many people as humanly possible. And I'm so blown away by the support you have given me. So if you're interested in becoming a plant friend on Patreon of the show, you can head to the link in the show notes for more information. Also, there's been some confusion. So if you are interested in joining the Bloom and Grow Facebook group, which is a closed password protected group, I've now limited new entrants to only people who have joined Patreon, just because the group is becoming large and I want to protect that it's small and intimate and only filled with Bloom and Grow listeners and Bloom and Grow supporters. So moving forward, that's how that's going to work. So if you're interested in joining the group, you do have to sign up for Patreon. If you have been in the group, nothing's going to change. You get to be a part of the plantiest corner of the internet forever. Because I love you, plant friends. I love you so much that I want to hear you on an upcoming episode of Bloom and Grow Radio titled Indoor Plant Appreciation, the community episode, because the third week of September is Indoor Plant Appreciation Week. So I want our community to call in and share their favorite houseplant story, whether it's a win, a loss, a hilarious thing that happened to you in your urban jungle. I just want to hear from you and continue to inspire our community to bloom and grow. This is the final week for you guys to call in before I start editing the... This is the final week for you guys to call in before the deadline. So the deadline is this upcoming Monday. So make sure you call in, share your stories with me. I can't wait to hear from you. All of the information for how to participate is in the show notes. I hope this two-part series on cannabis has opened your mind and that you've learned a little bit as a plant parent on just how things grow. I mean, the topic is cannabis, which is a little bit of a hot topic, but really the conversation is about growing and about how different brains approach growing differently, science versus nature. And I just really learned so much as a plant parent from this conversation. So I hope it inspired you. And don't worry, we will be back to our normal houseplant specific programming next month. I've got tons of great episodes lined up for you. Also, if you're interested in visual aids for this, I actually have a little behind the scenes tour of Chewdy's commercial grow house up on my YouTube channel. So if you want some behind the scenes look of actually what the flower looks like, what actually trimming the bud looks like, what curing it looks like, the vegetative stage versus the flower, there is a video on my YouTube channel that you should go check out. The links are in the show notes. And also you should subscribe because I am doing really fun stuff on my YouTube channel this month. Before I bring you this conversation that I love, I want to share today's episode sponsor and the CBD company I am in love with, Highline Wellness. Okay, plant friends, I have been using Highline Wellness for more than 8 months, and I actually approached them to be the sponsor for this episode because I love this company so much and their products have helped me so much. So Highline Wellness makes premium CBD products at honest and affordable prices. They make CBD gummies, CBD oil, CBD pain cream. They even make dog treats for your dogs. They all have broad spectrum CBD that has absolutely no THC in them. And if you're interested in learning more about the THC versus CBD, you can head back to last week's episode in the outro where I broke that down for you. But I've been using their products primarily to help me sleep in all the different hotel rooms that I've been in traveling, and also to manage some performance anxiety that I have. I started my CBD journey with Highline Wellness when I got their chews, which are basically the most delicious gummy bears ever. They're vegan, gluten-free, non-GMO, artificial color-free, soy-free, wheat-free, yeast-free, and they have no artificial sweeteners, but they taste so good. I frequently have to tell myself to not eat more than two, which is the right dose for me, because they're just so tasty. I want to keep eating them. So each gummy bear has 10 milligrams of broad spectrum CBD in it. I started taking them initially to go to sleep, and you just get this really nice calming sensation about 40 minutes in after, you know, you eat them and digest them. And I also now sometimes will take two gummies before a show when I go on for a track I understudy to help me calm stage fright and any nerves that I get going on. Now I love the CBD oil that they have, which is their most effective and their fastest way for getting the active CBD into your system. The oil is also totally vegan, gluten-free, non-GMO, and cruelty-free, and I use it to sleep probably most nights. I either put it under my tongue to go to sleep, or I will put it in tea or a hot chocolate. The oil, you can get it no flavor, or you can get this really nice mint flavor, which is the one that I like. I use it at night to wind down, but I also know people like my sister who will actually put it in their coffee in the morning to help just have a nice, calm, anxiety-free morning and start to your day. Plant friends, Highline Wellness is offering Bloom and Grow listeners 15% off of their amazing CBD products, which I can't tell you I love them so much. Check out their products at highlinewellness.com and use the code BLOOM15 for 15% off your purchase. So once again, that's highlinewellness.com and use your code BLOOM15 for 15% off your purchase. All right, plant friends, so excited to bring you the second half of this episode where we learn how to actually harvest cannabis. So crazy. I hope you enjoy it. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled? Or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. So it's in the vegetative state for 4 to 6 weeks. The life cycle is like pretty short. I'm kind of surprised at like from seed to harvest how quick it is. So you have the vegetative state, and then how do you get it to flower?
Indoors, that process is just simply changing the lighting schedule. So in our vegetative state, we have the lights on for 18 hours a day, and they get 6 hours of darkness. And within those 6 hours, the plants are able to stretch and grow upwards and outwards.
Okay.
To eventually produce as much flower as we can in the end. As soon as they go into flower, we change the light schedule to 12 hours of darkness and 12 hours of light.
Do you turn it to 12 and then they flower, or do they flower and then you turn it to 12?
The first 12-12 cycle initiates
sprout,
the flower.
Okay.
And all that is the plant has certain hormones that produce flower. And so as those hormones start to build up with the change in cycle,
Interesting.
We start to produce calyxes in full flower sites.
And then you consider outdoor growing, and that's just us changing and moving into the later part of summer, moving into fall,
right.
So the days are shorter.
Right.
So moving from that 18 to 12 is us from moving from like June, July sun to August, September sun. And my cannabis starts to flower around August, mid-August. And I'm sure it starts to happen maybe a little bit sooner than that. Mm-hmm. But for me, being able to see visually, because that's the only tool that I'm really kind of using is, I guess, but visually, it starts to flower. Yeah, August seems like later, mid to late part of August.
I'm so obsessed with the pair of you comparing and contrasting this right now, because
it is so,
it's literally like nature versus nurture.
And when I
kind of, this is wild.
It's interesting. I just was thinking, my first time growing, we did it in college in 2008. And it was in a closet, I think, with
classic.
A light bulb.
From, a closet,
just like a
right.
Normal, a nice closet,
like just a normal light bulb.
Just like an LED.
Yeah,
like.
And like, I think we probably ended up just smoking the leaves. Like, I don't even think it ever.
And it was probably the worst high you've ever had.
It was probably
the shittiest
we were probably
weed
pretending.
Ever. Right.
Yeah, but we never, there was never a time where we were even considering like something outside of our selfishness of wanting to grow in a closet in college. Like we're like, oh, there's a thing called earth and the sun, and there's a reason why like these plants are budding. They're responding to the amount of sunlight and to the necessary powers in order for them to continue, in order for them to go to seed. They have to flower to do this and do that. And all sorts of plants, I'm sure, flower according to different reasons, but it's really cool to kind of see those.
Wow.
Those ways.
That's wild. So Chudi, is there any, when it flowers, do you change the feeding at all? Is it still the same?
It's still the same feeding.
It's still the same feeding, the same combination.
Yeah. So our nutrient line is very simple, and we can feed that from seedling to harvest.
The way that the garden is organized is you kind of have your seed starting room, your kind of vegetative room, and then your flowering room. The flowering room is just unbelievable, like just seeing all these flowers. So is there anything else like special that you do to care for them when they're in their flowering state?
So the flowering stage is when they get the most care out of their life cycle. day one, when they go in, they get skirted, mm-hmm. which is just taking all the lower nodes of the plant and ripping them off,
okay.
and, or cutting them off.
This is after they flower.
Yes, this is last day one. They start flowering. Maybe between days 2 and 5, we come in there as a team and go and do that process so that all the growth for the first 14 days of flower is designated to those top nodes. So you get the stretch and mm-hmm. the expression at the end. Mm-hmm. Day 7, we come in, and because these plants have been introduced to a stronger source of light, mm-hmm. in the veg, they go from 600 watts, and then the flower, they go up to 1,000 watts. So it's more replicating the intensity of the sun, and that drives the growth like crazy and produces more fan sites, more nodes, and just causes the plant to stretch more than it will in its life cycle. So plant will come in 2 feet tall from the veg, and by day 7, it's doubled in size and it's now a 4-foot plant. Day 7 is when we come through and take off all that extra growth. Mm-hmm. The bigger fan leaves that have been driven by the new light, mm-hmm. New node sites that we didn't get to the first time. And that will push all the growth towards all the new flower sites that have been created in those mm-hmm. first 7 days. And then on day 21, we come in and do that same thing again.
So you're just like really giving them haircuts.
Like yeah, really it's really just cutting them back and pruning them.
Trying to facilitate all of the energy of the plant going exactly where it needs to be to grow the bud. And Rooney, what about you?
This last year was the first year I experimented with removing some of the larger leaves.
After it's flowered.
Yeah, while mm-hmm. it's flowering. And then I read some things that weren't so great about that were in particular what I was doing. As far as just kind of like removing their energy and kind of expecting it to be redispersed throughout the plant. And so, but that's an interesting point of removing the nodes from the lower tree. I'm gonna try that this year. I think. It makes sense because then you encourage everything to kind of push up.
Yeah.
Which is better. And the larger buds and more dense and mm-hmm. full buds, because the nodes at the bottom, removing those, they're just usually smaller. And sometimes you can't even really get anything that you could
use. Because they're not getting the sun.
Yeah.
Right.
They're a lot smaller. So that's a good point. But no, I just top mine and I just let it go. Honestly, I just top mine, let it go. Some of the larger leaves I'll remove just mm-hmm. to bring it in. Cause it gets very bushy, mm-hmm. very, very bushy. Mm-hmm. And I want some of the fan leaves, in theory, to catch some more sunlight.
And how do you know when to harvest? Like, what does the flower show you?
So
this is like a very sensitive, there's like the 1 hour or whatever.
So you got to look at the trichomes on the actual bud themselves.
So what's a trichome?
A trichome.
Judy, what's a trichome? What's a trichome?
I'm a home grower.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like almost like a filament-like extension. It's very sticky.
They're a part of the flower.
It looks like a mini mushroom.
Yeah.
And it's microscopic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's in the flower.
Yeah, yes. All plants have them.
But it's almost like a defense mechanism for the plant. It coats the plant so that it keeps the potential seed in the safe from external environment.
Okay.
And so these are what you want to watch for. And so what I've done is I got a jeweler's lens. I went to the store and got a jeweler's lens, and truly towards the end of September when the hairs, I first look at the hairs, the white hairs will start to turn orange at the tips and mm-hmm. kind of start to move down the length of the hair.
Okay.
And when those kind of get closer to the base of orange, that's when I really start to look. And I look every day, every morning I'll wake up and I take my jeweler's lens mm-hmm. out to my buds and I look to see, and I wait until they've turned partially milky. And Trudy and I were talking about this today, and this is something I didn't know if it was true. You know, the further you let it go, the qualities of the bud are going to be far worse than they would if you get it just right. And it's kind of like Goldilocks. You have to get
it just right.
The trichomes are clear. Exactly right. Just mm-hmm. right. The trichomes are clear when you want them to be partially milky, per se, in order for you to kind of harvest. And from what I've read, you want to harvest early in the morning before it's kind of been exposed to the sun all day. That's when I harvest outdoors. Is when those trichomes get milky. And
is there a certain time of day you like actually harvesting, like cutting
morning.
It off?
Yeah,
in the
it's
morning.
Usually
okay.
yeah, it's usually I'd say 5:45 and 6 or 6 a.m. And it's very pungent, the odor. My whole yard
smells like cannabis.
One or two plants.
And it's the traditional cannabis smell that we all know.
Very traditional. Well, it's skunky.
If you walk down the street in any city.
My mother thinks it's a skunk, truly.
Right, the skunky
but
smell.
But it's absolute cannabis, yes.
Is it the same for you? Like, how do you guys measure when to harvest?
Because we've grown so many cycles, we've probably grown 30 or so different mm-hmm. harvests. It's almost become like a second nature, like an intuition that we can just look at a plant and realize that it's ready to be cut down. But on a more scientific level, it's similar to how Rooney checks. We look for trichomes, and as the hairs start to turn orange, we realize that the plant is getting ready to be finished, or at least before it starts to degrade. Because if you leave the plant on longer, that THC starts to degrade and turn into CBD, which it's going to lose some of the effects that...
My favorite new sleeping.
Yeah.
CBD. But that's another episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're also looking for the trichome hairs to turn orange and the milky quality too?
Yeah. So clear indicates that it's not quite done. Milky is exactly what you would want. When you get amber trichomes.
Do you use a jeweler's lens as well?
We do.
You
do?
Use
the same type of, yeah.
That's so fun. Okay. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what does the actual harvest look like?
It's a crew of 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
All
of is, that, is it 5? Is it 5 people at the garden?
Yeah, there are 5 people. Mm-hmm. It's a crew of us just going through. We set up a little workstation in a workflow, almost like a conveyor belt of people just cutting plants down, moving them over, and defanning them, which is just pulling off all of the big fan leaves that are left on at the end.
And you showed me this. There'll be a video on my Insta story about it. So do you just take wherever the bud is and just cut right under it?
So we cut the whole plant.
Oh, you cut the whole stalk with all the leaves on it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then we cut the whole plant, go through and pull off all the big fan leaves. Sometimes we do that process before and go through while the plant's still living and pull off the fan leaves for the last 2 to 3 days so that all of the light in the room is going towards the buds and not any foliage that's growing underneath, possibly.
I'm calling it a stalk, and that's absolutely not the word. What makes the leaf and the bud, the bud and the leaf on the stick?
I think we refer to those as nodes, but the stalk is part of the plant.
It is a stalk. Yeah. I am right. Okay, cool.
It's like an extension of the stalk.
Are there more than one bud on a stalk or on a node?
Yeah, so we'll have the main stalk that runs right out of the soil, and that'll branch into different nodes. And all up and down the node is going to be flower sites that will eventually mature into full dense buds.
Okay, so one node can have more than one flower.
Yes.
So you're basically going down the line, taking off the big leaves, then taking off the smaller leaves until you get kind of a node, a naked node with maybe 3 or 4 flowers on it.
Yeah, at the end of the harvest, we'll have flower sites and the sugar leaf that sits around the flower, which will be coated in trichomes.
Okay, and then what happens then?
From there, we go into our cure room, and it's kept significantly colder than the flower room, so like 60 degrees.
Yes, I noticed that. You took us there. Well. Yes, okay.
And then we start at 60% humidity, and as the days go on, we drop it to 55 so that we cure the bud just right and dry it just right in order to not lose any of our terpene profiles or trichome content.
Okay. What's a terpene? I've heard a lot of people talk about terpenes with...
A terpene is an aromatic hydrocarbon. It's a...
Okay, what's an aromatic
hydrocarbon? Yeah, it's done. I think, like pinene and...
What makes it smell?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, it's
the... Why is it important to have the terpene in the end result when you're
It's what contributes to, the essence of cannabis. It's it's what produces that traditional cannabis smell, the skunkiness, the citrus, the... Okay. Piney flavors.
Mm-hmm.
They're all just different terpenes, and each genetic variety has a different concentration of all those terpenes.
Like, remember, I don't know if you like high school, I truly think of high school when it wasn't, I don't think it was cannabis that I was smoking. I think it was like literal grass.
Like dirt. Right.
Yeah, and it tasted like dirt. And that's because it probably didn't have any of those terpenes in it because it probably wasn't.
And the terpenes, do they, whether it's indica or sativa, or like kind of what kind of high you're going to get, do the terpenes affect that too?
The terpenes actually help with the uptake of THC and CBD. Mm-hmm. Having terpenes in conjunction with those active ingredients helps your body readily absorb some of these compounds.
Okay. So the terpenes are crucial.
Yes.
AKA.
For the actual function of smoking and for just the bag appeal or the scent of cannabis.
Got it. So in your dry room, which I saw, you had all of those stalks, we'll call them, hung upside down to dry with all the flowers on them. It's much drier. It's much cooler to help facilitate that. So you had just started talking about the drying process. So what does that look like?
So the drying process is as soon as that plant comes into the cure room, it's going to hang on the wire for at least 14 days and let the plant dry down to a point where when we put it into its final bag, it's not going to mold or retain any of the moisture that might help it mold.
It's almost like freeze-dried.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, 14 days is quite a bit of time, but the amount of moisture it loses is tremendous in that time. And then from that 14-day period, we put them in containers where they'll sit and cure for another 7 days before before they're put in their final bags and ready to be sold.
So they're drying for like a full month.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the harvesting drying process for you. Oh, and you showed me also, so before they even do that, so they hang upside down with the flower, and then you take that out. That's when you actually separate the flowers and you go in and take off every tiny little, what's that called?
Trimming, processing of the full plant.
So you're cutting all the tiny little leaves off. Then you put them in the airtight containers for 14 more days. And then they're ready.
And then from there, they'll get the final trim. And the trim that comes off of that is then stored and sold as a separate product.
Okay. The remnants of the
trim. Yeah. So the remnants of the flower that I was showing you that we were trimming, we'll drop those all in the bin. And they all still retain the trichome content and terpene profiles of the actual flower. So then there are extractors and edibles producers that are looking for just cheaper material
other than flour. So that's what they might make oil or like an edible cookie or something.
Yeah.
With. Oh, cool. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I throw that into my morning tea.
Look at that.
Yeah. And that's funny because with my leaves, kind of my harvesting process, after I kind of harvest my plant and deem that the trichomes are ready, I move into my garage. I trim the larger leaves and I'll let it cure for a few days. I kind of let it dry out. And being in Colorado, I don't know if you'd agree. I think it probably dries like much more efficiently. I think
Colorado is perfect for drying.
We've got an upper hand. You know, I wonder what growers in lower states have
like
to
Florida
do.
Or something. Yeah, that would be really tough. I don't know if it's legal in Florida, but definitely some sort of tropical, whatever tropical climate where it's legal. Yeah, yeah.
And where they have to constantly combat mold, because that's another issue, is where you can lose your harvest after is by not letting them cure properly. You can induce mold, and then you've got a bunch of moldy buds, and no one wants to smoke a moldy bud. But I move into the garage and my larger leaves all dry out and use as like facial exfoliator that I'll just kind of dry up and I have in some plastic bags and I'll use like on my face, like just in, you know, they have medicinal qualities. Mm-hmm. And so in theory, you know, just
you could maybe
leaves.
Take a bath with them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I'll trim all that, use it in teas. And similar to the same way, I let them dry for about a week or two. I'd say, you know, 8-9 days. And then I have referred to the process as burping, where I'll cut mine buds up after I've trimmed them. And I put them in mason jars and keep them closed. And then I'll leave them open for about an hour a day. But homegrown always tends to smell just more herby.
Yeah.
Once you squish it, it is. Mine is just so sticky.
You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today.
I'm not a huge fan of trimming. I'm not... I care for the plant after I've removed it from the ground. I usually work with trades for other people. My my massage therapist will, he can trim for a few branches and I can get a few massages. So
right. That's a lovely trade.
Yeah, I'm just not into the trimming. It's not active. It's a new process.
Right.
I love caring for the plant and so on and so forth and kind of watching that process. But yeah, and then I let it burp. So I'll open it for an hour or two during the day and then I'll close the lid
and
then again.
And you'll do that. So you'll let it dry for a few weeks and then you'll burp it for a few weeks?
Yeah. So the whole process is like about 6 weeks until I'm smoking. I mean, before that, I'll definitely smoke the buds because I'm really excited.
Right.
And I always experiment with it just to
right.
see what it's like. But yeah, and then it's there. So I from when I start the seed, which is April, I harvest to smoking, which is about October, November.
So you're a full season from April to October, November. And then what does a seed life look like with you? Because you're kind of forcing it a little bit more. Say it started in April.
From April, within 3 months, we'd have finished product.
Okay. Wow. So it's
July. So you get a few more cycles out of that time span.
Half.
Yeah.
Okay. That's so interesting, man.
So within a year, we get probably 5 or 6 full cycles from
right.
germination to harvest.
And you're really only getting one because you aren't. You can't do it in the winter the way you guys just keep on.
Yeah, it's just continually and
perpetually
going.
Harvest, you have to watch, especially harvesting in September and October when the weather changes, you have to watch as well. So sometimes you have to harvest early. I was in a situation where I had to move. And my lease was up October 1, and I was absolutely devastated. I had to cut all of my girls, all my plants before I moved, and they hadn't had a chance to cure. So I grew all year, and I had all my babes. And they looked so beautiful. I mean, they were just the most beautiful plants that I cared for and growed from seed that was, it's a beautiful process. Beautiful process.
What about pest control? What do you guys do for pest control?
I've never had pests in my garden with the exception of aphids on my Brussels sprouts. Mm-hmm. But besides that, I grow a lot of marigolds and Japanese beetles. Don't care for them. We have a huge Japanese beetle problem here on Eaton roses, but I haven't found many pests that care for them. And I think it maybe is because of their trichomes.
And the they're scent. Smelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one wants to be around a skunk.
Nothing. Right. I do. I want to be around these skunks.
And what about you guys?
So indoors pests are highly attracted to cannabis plants. Mm-hmm. So when we bring in new tissue, sometimes, unfortunately, we get tissue that has had pest problems at a previous facility.
Okay.
And then we have to now combat it here at our facility. In our vegetative cycle, we use different pesticide sprays that are derived from organic ingredients. Mm-hmm. So we use chrysanthemum oil or chrysanthemum extract.
Okay.
Neem oil, mineral
Everybody's
oil.
Favorite, neem oil.
Yeah.
And for houseplants too.
Do you routinely spray
or
that's just what you use if you have a pest outbreak?
We try to keep it at bay most of the time, but we do preventive sprays to just always have clean plants going in because once you have pests, it's very hard to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And we only spray in the vegetative cycle because as you move into flower, the flower actually will retain some of those properties in the solutions that we mix up.
Okay.
So that's why we use more organic and biological ingredients.
Okay.
Predatory mites.
Could you use ladybugs?
You can use ladybugs indoors. However, they can always make their way into the source, like the inside points of the flower, and sometimes die there. So you get finished product that has ladybug carcasses things like that.
What about a lacewing?
I've never thought of that. Could you imagine opening your bud to
a dead ladybug? Not cute. Huh. Any other troubleshooting things? I mean, pests are the big troubleshooting. We were in the garden and Rooney noticed 2 plants that had some yellowing, sad looking leaves. And you mentioned how you handle that, which I thought was fascinating. Do you want to kind of elaborate on how you address
so
that?
The medium, it attracts different types of nutrients. It holds on to different nutrients for longer periods of time. So to just combat a deficiency or a surplus in something, we just completely wash out the medium. Since we're using an inert medium, we're able to just clean everything out and reset the medium almost to a point where there's nothing else. There are no more external or foreign particles in it.
Okay.
And from there, we let the plant dry up with just the water it's had in the medium, and it eventually corrects itself.
Okay. So you have the coir, which is essentially sterile.
Yes.
So you can completely manipulate the nutrients. So if you have a plant that looks yellow, you can actually manipulate the nutrients to kind of bring it back to life.
And wash everything out other than the car itself.
So you can like re-sterilize it almost by like flushing it.
It's completely and cleaning.
Give it a fresh palate.
And then start your nutrient regimen again and seeing if those problems present themselves again. And then you can just continually do that till it corrects itself.
That's so cool. The science approach to it, just growing in general, I mean, even if you just talk about these storage container hydroponic gardening, not with cannabis, but with food that people are doing, like in New York City, and how you can like manipulate everything so perfectly to grow food. It's really wild.
You can tailor exactly your regimen and make it specific to a certain type of plant.
Yeah. And you don't have crazy like global warming conditions that can mess up an entire like season's worth of crop. It's so interesting.
Everything's very controlled.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the laws. Colorado is so progressive. I'm coming from a state where everything is still pretty illegal, but what has been your experience dealing with the law and kind of trying to grow this business sustainably and legally and effectively? Do you have anything, I guess, to say about that?
So Colorado has very strict laws. It's very regulated. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the newer states who are pushing for regulation are adopting Colorado's platform because it's so well thought out. The plants are tracked from seed until the consumer gets it all the way through. So when we move a plant from a small cube to one of the tables, it's considered veg plant. And then the system, which is called Metric, we have to actually transfer a batch of plants to a different room into different phase.
When you mean system, you mean like the government gives you like
the state like of Colorado system has built a seed to sale system.
Oh, so and we track our plants every single seed. So the government knows every single seed that you're tracking.
They know where a plant starts from. It. They know where it's going to go. They know when it goes out. They know how it's shipped. If an extractor gets flower, they know what type of extracts that extractor made with our flower.
Wow. That's wild. And has it been exciting to be part of this movement, like with kind of battling the law and with being kind of one of the pioneer states and areas where you're kind of at the forefront of
Yeah, this? I definitely like, consider that, myself a pioneer like? In this industry. Adhering to the laws is kind of difficult because you want to just grow cannabis as a free plant. And like all the people who've grown it for the last 20 to 30 years have known how to grow it with no regulation and just growing it freely and not having anyone coming in to check on it. But with the regulation, it makes it a bit tedious. Mm-hmm. And you have to take extra care to make sure you're within the confines of the law.
Right. But I'm sure that pays off.
Oh, yeah, it does in the
end. And as a consumer, I would imagine it feels good to know that what you're purchasing and what you're buying has been tracked and there is someone like looking over it a little bit to understand because you can have weird experiences with it.
Yeah. And as a consumer myself, and also having experience in the commercial industry, I would like to know where my cannabis has been sourced from. Totally. I would like to know how it's grown, how the testing results from it, if it's really as clean as it's being marketed as.
I mean, even just the thought of, oh, you guys don't use ladybugs because other people do, and there are ladybug carcasses in the freaking flower that you're buying. Like, that's crazy to think about.
That's...
He's just like
that. I'm traumatized a bit. Yeah. Many times I've grinded weed without looking in it first. Yeah.
And what about you? From a home grower's perspective.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, if I'm purchasing it, which I do regularly from one dispensary that I've been shopping at for years since it's been legalized, and I trust them, I know the process, I know where they grow. And for me, I didn't learn until recently more specifically about the laws regarding cannabis. You know, it's something that's, it's a part of my garden. It's not anything that is anything that I look at as, you know, this... It's just a part of what I do and a part of the culture. It's a part of my life. It's a part of my lifestyle and what I choose to do. But the plant, it thrives in its and where it should. And just as I would plant a tomato plant.
Right.
And just as I responsibly eat tomatoes, I plant a cannabis plant. And I also responsibly consume cannabis.
Well, and also I think it's interesting something that you mentioned. You can't sell it legally as a home grower, but you use it as like a communal trading thing and you trade for massages and trade with your friends and do that kind of, I mean, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And it's a part
that
of
like
this,
takes it back to it's like a storytelling days. Process. Yeah, yeah, totally.
And I can't even tell you the faces of the people that number one, get to see the plant in June, then they maybe see it again in August. And then they're enjoying it with some food in November and we're able to talk about this plant and the process over. And it becomes a celebration. It truly is in any given word of the sense because it's something that it came from your garden. It's, I don't know. It's, and it's the same way that we should look at food, and I'm getting better at looking at my food and being thankful and knowing that there's a certain specific type of process that went into the lettuce or the cannabis or, you know, in this sense, the cannabis or, you know, the avocado even, but
right.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part to share. And it's a community piece as well.
Where can we find Rooney Bloom and what services do you offer, and tell us everything? How can we find you? How can we be your plant Rooney. Friend? How can we hire you? Tell us everything.
You can find me on Instagram. Instagram and email is best.
Rooney Bloom.
Rooney Bloom. Rooney underscore Bloom on Instagram and RooneyBloom@gmail.com. I do anything plants and empowering people with plants. If you've been nervous about caring for plants in the past, or you're interested in empowering you and your family with things that you can eat, I'm your guy. So let me know. Yeah, I love just empowering people with education and allowing them to take control and them to take the reins of being able to grow a garden and being able to harvest their love and compassion and time and commitment too.
And I know you're so passionate about answering people's questions and DMs, and you're just like so open to share your knowledge with anyone who needs it. So go hit Rooney up.
Yeah.
For edibles, for cannabis, for herbs as medicine, really just anything. Just anything like holistic. Rooney's going to talk to you about it.
Or I'll point you to somebody right. in the community that can. That's, yeah. It's really important for me to.
And houseplants too. Yeah.
It's like everyone's like, it takes a village to raise a child. I'm like, it takes a village to raise an adult. Like, yeah. Here I am.
And, or a plant. Yeah.
And supporting this knowledge of gardening and plant knowledge. And hopefully everyone learned about, you know, the next time they're enjoying their peace pipe, they can think and reflect upon all the process, all the eyes, all the time and commitment that went into consideration, that went into man. Something so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing. And I'd love to just end asking, like, what does cannabis mean to you, and why are you so passionate for continuing the education and continuing contributing this plant to society?
Cannabis is literally part of my life. It's a part of me at this point in my life. And I just want people to be able to find meaning in it and not really associate it with any negative stigmas, because it's such a helpful plant. Mm-hmm. As it becomes federal, it's going to help so many people with mm-hmm. certain illnesses and ailments. It just makes living easier, living better.
And you want to do it in a healthy, high quality way.
Yeah. I want to provide the purest and cleanest cannabis for the consumer and patient in the end.
You can certainly tell that by having visited your
thank you.
Grow operation. And what about you, Rooney?
Cannabis to me, and the passion behind cannabis to me, is destigmatizing a lot of the common misbeliefs around cannabis. Cannabis has allowed me to heal in a lot of different formats, from caring from a plant, from the seed, and all the way to a harvest. It's become a part of who I am. It's a part of the traditions that I hope to instill in my family and friends, and sharing knowledge around the truth around cannabis is what I think it empowers people to do. It's not only is it a love language for me, but it's a part of my life, and I foresee cannabis being a part of my life forever, as long as I'm on here on earth. And then maybe one day I'll become a cannabis.
Maybe one day I'll be reborn.
Maybe my ashes will be spread. Yeah. Cannabis is, can't imagine a life without cannabis.
I'm so thankful for both of you hearing your personal kind of approaches and perspectives to it. You guys have given us so much freaking incredible information, and knowledge is power. I hope everybody is inspired or just walks away. We learned a lot of just about growing plants today, whether it's cannabis or not. It's so interesting. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. And to everyone out there, keep blooming and keep growing. Thank you, Rooney Bloom and Chudy, for just being so open with how you grow cannabis and teaching us and educating us on how things grow. Definitely head to the show notes to find out how to learn more about them. They're linked in the show notes. And if you're interested, that behind the scenes video is live on my YouTube channel. So you can head to Bloom and Grow Radio on YouTube and see some behind the scenes shots of Rooney and my actual tour of the commercial grow house. It's pretty wild and will give you some great visual aids to all of the stuff you learned about in today and last week's podcast. make sure that you call in and share your indoor plant appreciation story with me. I can't wait to hear from you. Thank you again to our new Patreon supporters. And most importantly, thank you to Highline Wellness for sponsoring today's episode. For more information on Highline Wellness and to redeem your 15% off on any of their broad spectrum CBD products, head to highlinewellness.com and use the code BLOOM15 for 15% off. Once again, that's highlinewellness.com and use the code BLOOM15 for 15% off. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you are interested in more fun and educational planty content, well, plant friend, I've got a whole lot for you. Subscribe to the Bloom and Grow YouTube show, which is my YouTube channel where I bring you along for my personal plant journey, as well as share informational content that pairs with our podcast episodes. Follow me at Bloom and Grow Radio on Instagram for behind the scenes, sneak peeks at upcoming episodes, my daily planty lessons and thoughts, and most importantly, tune into my Instagram stories where I am constantly talking with you listeners and plant friends and polling you for content ideas, and I'm always interested in seeing what you're loving these days on Instagram. Join the Bloom and Grow mailing list and get a free download of the Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print that she created exclusively for our community. And if you can, support Bloom and Grow Radio by becoming a plant friend on Patreon. For as little as $4 a month, you not only help me bring these planty and informative episodes to thousands of ears around the world, but you will also get the super secret planty password to our exclusive Bloom and Grow Radio Garden Club Facebook group, which is a wonderfully active group of plant friends of the Bloom and Grow Radio podcast who make up what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is a lot of fun over there. And as always, my sweet plant friends, I am here for you. If you have ideas for episode topics, guests, or if you're possibly a business interested in sponsoring the show, reach out to me because I am here to help all of you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group. So if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, Plant Friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.